Blog Talk Radio.
Merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. All I ever have, redemption songs. Songs of freedom, songs of freedom.
All right, all right. Welcome back. My name is Yamsuf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. What we study here, and we're all students, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. We study it in detail. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis, an accurate and intelligent study, while leaving no stone or leaf unturned. We try to get you to acclimate yourself to that time frame, to delve into their characteristics and so on and so forth. And you will find that most often our forefathers wasn't perfect. That means neither one of us are either. If you're trying to be perfect, you try to do the best you can, follow the Most High word and codification and processes to the best of your ability. But that being said, sometimes ourselves take over and we get into trouble. You'll see that in the case of Joseph. how he was rather naive, inner, a little braggadocious about his dreams and so on and so forth. You'll find out the brothers' responses, although you'll find out two of the brothers by the handmaiden, Baha, which was Rachel's handmaiden. He thought he had a relationship with them, I suspect, because, you know, that's his mother's handmaiden. She had them other two boys by. We got something going on here. I can talk to them. But little did he know, he couldn't talk to them because of his naivety and because perhaps of his braggadocious attitude. Even his father had to tell him, hey, stop all that. Even though he kept in mind what he said, he'd stop all that now. You caused them trouble among your brothers with your naivety or perhaps with your braggadocious attitude. See, we need to study the rock we were hewn from and the ditch we were dug from in order to get the best out of us and stop doing some things that we used to do. That's why we all pray for our ancient ones, because they weren't perfect either, neither anyone. If we think we are, we're totally confused about everything. We're not studying anything as far as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub is concerned, and his people. That being said, again, thank you for studying with us tonight. And perhaps you're wondering, Yom Suf, who are the weed that you're making reference to? Seems like Sister Abiyah is AWOL for right now. Something perhaps came up at the last minute. You never know. She'll pop up. But Cartrell is here. He's a fellow student also. Meaning, he's just like Yom Suf. He's learning as we go along, as we share in our studies, as you should be too. Don't be totally reliant on us. Trust in the Elohim and burn the midnight oil when our study sessions are over with. Yes, Cartrell and Sister Abiyah, I know all I need to know about them, and you should too, which is they love the Most High with all their minds, heart, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves, meaning that their brothers and sisters are imperfect sometimes, although they may think they're perfect, but he still loves them, and they love them nevertheless, because neither one of us are perfect. As the Most High says, we all have sin, iniquity. It's true. Try to get rid of your iniquity. Try to work on your sins and try to get in a constructive and polished relationship with the Elohim and your brothers and sisters. Stop meddling. Stop being braggadocious, thinking you're something better than sliced bread. And perhaps we can do some things together in a constructive manner. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let me bring on Brother Cartrell. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. Bless Yah, oh my soul. You know, that's a fitting, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yom Suf, shalom. May the Most High bless you. How you doing?
Shalom, my brother. May the Most High bless you. I'm doing well, my brother. I'm blessed. And I'm blessed by the Most High. Praise Yah.
Yes, I got a text from Sister Abiyah. Mm-hmm. She's dealing with some funeral arrangements in her family, so she won't be here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She probably texted you, too, but you ain't looking.
Yeah, probably, Cartrell. Probably. I'd be just running around here and there with a chicken, like a chicken with my head cut off. So, but thank you, brother, for letting us know, and I'm very appreciative.
Yes.
Brother Cartrell, mm-hmm. any comments before we proceed in our studies?
Well, you pretty much broke down the study already. Do we need to go into it?
No, we're going to go into it. Yeah, we need to go into it. We need to share all these beautiful words of the Elohim and let the students decide for themselves. Okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Cartrell. Chapter 37 of Bereshit. It is the original name of this book. Some of you call it Genesis. That's not the name. That's a Greek name. Original name means in the beginning, and the mind of Yah, in the beginning. Brought to you by Mose, the prophet. Praise Yah. Chapter 37. Give you a few seconds to get there. Now, Yaqub dwelt in a land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Yaqub, which is Israel. Zola, being 17 years old, a very naive young brother, was feeding the flock with his brother, the lad with the sons of Maha, the maidservant of Rachel, the sons of Zephla, the maidservant of Lee, his father's wife. Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father, of them to his father. Joseph was snitching. And they're going to try to give him some stitches. Joseph was dry snitching. Now, Israel loved Joseph. And Cottrell mentioned that about his own children. Sometimes you can't put that love on display. It causes conflict within the family. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic. A tunic is like a coat that you put over your inner garments. You know, if you got a robe on and you got a little short tunic, and you put a belt around, you look at fly like that. You know, back in the day, your brothers like to dress fly now. He made him a tunic. Yeah, go ahead, Cottrell.
Him wearing a tunic was like a position of authority.
Exactly.
Those tunics showed the status of where he was at. And it starts off with the generations of Jacob. How come he didn't start with Reuben? It starts with Joseph because he loved Joseph more than all of his sons.
Exactly.
And it's not just because he was the son of his old age. It's because he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah.
We already know that, Kasha. Those who studied it knows that the relationship they had with Rachel was one that he loved her dearly. And so, yes, he would have some sort of feeling for the children that he bore by her. And you'll find that with Benjamin, too. He had love for both of those young brothers, and much more than Leah's son. And he expressed that before them. And like I said, we need to be very cognizant in our relationship with our children before one another. Even if you got a special affinity toward one, you don't go around flooding it, okay? It can cause problems down the road with that respect, because children, brothers and sisters, are similar. The culture always says this: they bump heads, and sometimes they crack heads. You want them simply to bump heads. You don't want to crack each other here. So, therefore, Yaakov caused some problems. Okay, tell me.
And you know that Jacob already had a problem with three of his sons. Reuben slept with one of his wives.
Mm-hmm.
And then Simeon and Levi, they went to town in Shechem. So, Jacob was pretty pissed off at some of his sons already.
Exactly. Exactly. Cottrell, I had a repairman come in for a minute, so I'm going to read this next segment, then I'm going to let you make some commentary while I point him out to where he needs to check out something in my room. Thank you, Cottrell. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. We spoke about the tunic he made him, as Cottrell referred to, as a status symbol. But when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated Joseph and could not speak. They didn't even have a kind word to say to the young man. They talked rather harshly to him, either ostracized him. However, it was not a quality and conductive relationship that had been brought forth by Jacob himself. Yaakov brought that upon the whole family. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose, also stood upright. Indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told his brother and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father, Joseph, and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brother envied him. But his father kept the matter in mind. The father had created this muster in Joseph. Rather, Joseph was quite naive or braggadocious, whatever. It was causing friction within the family. And I guess it got to the point where the father, with these dreams, he finally rebuked, stop all that. Even that being said, he kept in mind what Joseph had said, because him being the favorite. But nevertheless, he was causing problems, conflict within the family, being naive and or braggadocious. Praise Yah. Contrail, you have the mic. Keep it going. I'll be right back.
All praises. It was only a dream, though. He only dreamed two dreams. And the family seems to be getting emotionally upset with Joseph and his dreams. But it's only a dream. Why should they get upset? Seem they have more love for Dina, their sister, than they did for Joseph, their brother. They hated him because their father showed him favor, made him a coat, and he's having these dreams. But they shouldn't reach this emotional point in their lives just because their little baby brother, Joseph, is telling them these dreams. And the fact that Joseph's father, Jacob, kept the dream in mind, he had dreams too. You remember the dream that he had, seeing the angels when he rested his head on a rock, ascending and descending into the heavens? And he also had the dream about the goats. And there was a message in that he needs to separate the speckled and the spotted goats from the rest of the flock, which he did. So his dream led him to getting his fortune that he got from his uncle Laban. And we see here that he's paying attention to Joseph's dream. The first dream, keep in mind, he's dealing with sheaves and wheat and all that become very important in Joseph's life as we, unfold his story. So his first dream is about the sheaves, and then his second dream is about the stars and the sun and the moon. But we know that his mother is not there anymore.
Right.
But her soul is still alive.
Right.
So he says the sun, the moon, and the stars bow down to his star.
Right.
Which eventually happens, except for the fact that his mother wasn't there to witness all that.
Right. Thank you, Cartier. You're right on point, brother. Very, very much appreciate you. Praise you.
No problem.
So, as a result of this toxic and poisonous relationship, Joseph's brother, they didn't actually decide to sell him at first, but they came later because Reuben intervened and saved the young brother's life. They were intent to kill him. When you have a toxic and poisonous relationship with one another, you have a tendency to do something if the Most High is not controlling you. And the Most High was evidently wasn't controlling these brothers. They didn't concede to his processes and codification. So they had animosity. It could build up over a course of time. During his naivety or being braggadocious, I don't know what it was, but it seemed to cause some tension between the brothers. Then the brothers went to
peace. And you got to remember.
Go ahead, Carter.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
You
got
to remember that Simeon and Levi already had blood on their hands.
Exactly.
So they had the experience already of killing someone or killing people.
Right.
So killing their little brother wasn't a problem for them.
Evidently, but if it wasn't for Reuben, we'll find out. Then his brother went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron and sent him to Shechem. Now a certain man found him, and there he was wandering in the field looking for his brothers. The man asked him, saying, what are you seeking? So he said, I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. I guess he gave him detail about his brothers and so on and so forth. And the man said, they have departed from here. I overheard them saying, let us go to Dothan. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. Now when they saw him afar, they saw him from a distance, even before he came near them. They conspired against him to kill him, as I previously said. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us kill him and cast him into some pit. And we should say, some wild beast has devoured him. And we should see what would happen of his dreams. They were being very sarcastic. But Reuben.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were sarcastic about their young brother.
They were being sarcastic, but they wasn't where they were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
They in Dothan chasing the honeys, and they see
right.
their brother Joseph coming, and they can't let him go back to their father with the report that they wasn't
right.
where they were supposed to be, but they was in Dothan. They
exactly.
said, nah, we got to set this witness up.
Yep, because they know Joseph. I mean, when we first previously read, beginning this historical study that he had already told on them. So they know he had no problem going back to dad. Dad, they weren't in Shechem. They was in Duncan, tasing them women. Okay? So he had no problem in telling the truth on himself and all his brothers. One thing you got to like about it, he didn't mind telling the truth. He'd tell it on his brother. He'd tell it on himself, and we'll find further out in these studies. Joseph had no problem with the truth, either related to him or related to anyone else. And that is... that compounded and exacerbated the situation also. Gartrell is so right. They knew he was going to tell it. So Reuben, big bro, overheard it. He delivered him out of their hand. Reuben took him from them and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to his other brother, shed no blood, but cast him into the pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands. He didn't want his brothers to hurt him and bring it. And it was his intention to return Joseph back to their father. He knew his daddy loved that boy. He already did wrong by sleeping with one of the handmaids. I believe that was Bilhah he had slept with. And so he knew dirt was on him. He didn't want to further compound his own problems by shedding his brother's innocent blood. And it was his intention to bring him back to Joseph. And you'll find out as we go along further in this historical study, the relationship with Reuben and Joseph when he becomes a man in charge. So it came to pass.
And so Joseph, was
yes, Cadriel.
You said it. You said Joseph mm-hmm. spoke the truth. He
mm-hmm.
wasn't afraid to speak the truth about his brothers or himself about or about anything else.
Exactly.
And we need people like that, right? Can't
you
hate them.
No, you can't.
You can't hate them, but the fact that he was there to tell the truth and really straighten his brothers out, they didn't like it. So
no.
rather than straighten themselves out, they turned to the negative side. They made negative choices. We're going to kill them.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Reuben had a conscience, and
mm-hmm.
the conscience was bothering him. And
mm-hmm.
he knew his father was going to have a negative reaction if
right.
they had killed Joseph.
Exactly. He didn't have any regard in the case of Bilhah. But he obviously... it must have caused his problem, him and his daddy, some contention. And probably he had some regrets about that. And so seeing that situation, he didn't want to compound his problems by having his brothers murder his brother and cause his father to have further anguish. I'm pretty sure he felt bad about Bilhah. So he didn't want to compound a situation for himself. He wanted to have a constructive and positive relationship with his father. And he knew that if Joseph come up missing, it was going to further compound his situation with his father. Him being the head of the household after being the firstborn, he's supposed to be in charge. He's supposed to know what's going on. He's supposed to be cognizant of everything. He's supposed to show leadership, execute that leadership. And certainly in this case, in this regard, he exercised leadership. But to his dismay,
mm-hmm.
yeah, go ahead, Katria.
He deserves credit because
he
saved Joseph's life.
He did. He deserves credit. Amen, Gottfried. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But it came to pass. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic. Not all of his clothes, just his tunic, his coat of authority, the tunic of many colors that was on him. They took him, cast him into a pit, but the pit was empty. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites, our folks, coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Mizraim. So Yehuda says to his brother, come on, man, we can make some profit out of this. What profit is there to kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then the Midianites, traders, passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And he took Joseph to Mizraim. Now, go ahead, Katrin.
You notice that they call the Ishmaelites by two different names, right?
Is that Midianites, and Ishmaelites?
So it means these Ishmaelites came from Midian.
Exactly.
It's like me. I'm an Israelite, but I live in New York, so they call me a New Yorker.
Exactly. I can dig it, brother. And fellow students, you ought to dig it too. Contreras is right on point with that. Praise y'all.
And the thing here to see too is that not only did Reuben save Joseph's life, but we see here that Judah is stepping up too.
Stepping up to the plate. You know,
neither Judah nor Reuben had blood on their hands. It was their two other brothers, Simeon and Levi. But you got to know the order of their birth. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Right. Those are later sons. And they're the ones who are like the masterminds behind all of this. Reuben saved Joseph the first time. Now, Judah is trying to prevent Simeon and Levi from having more blood on their hands, especially their own brother.
Exactly. Well, you know, Cartrell, just like you said, bad rubs off, good rubs off too. Reuben returns to the scene of the crime. Reuben returns to the pit. And indeed, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes. He was in lament, anguish. And he returned to his brothers and said, the lad is no more. And I, where shall I go after this? What have y'all done to me? I can't go home to daddy under these circumstances. Where's my brother? So they took Joseph's tunic. They killed the kid, further putting himself in a situation. Killed the kid of the goats and dipped his tunic in the blood. Then they set the tunic of many colors. They sent the tunic of many colors and they brought it to the father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether, man, this is so undercover and so messy. They asked their daddy this question. They already know the answer. Do you know whether it's your son's tunic or not? Like they didn't know. They go ask their daddy that. And dad, Israel, recognized it and said.
So, Yahshua.
Yes.
They didn't go to Jacob when they made that plot to kill the men in Shechem, did they?
No, they didn't.
Now, all of a sudden, you're going to bring Joseph's coat that you tore off him, tore up, put blood on it. Now you go to your father and ask him if this is Joseph's coat. So, you know, Joseph was like, Jacob is looking right through them.
Right. But he just don't know what to believe.
Well, can he believe? Yes. You don't have the evidence.
Yeah, you got some evidence.
To him. Right.
He's torn.
Aren't they going out looking for the people that might have killed their little brother? Like y'all went out for Dina. Why aren't you going out for Joseph? You're bringing it to me like this, right?
Yeah, dad wasn't stupid, bro. Dad wasn't stupid, man. He knew his children. And Yaakov Israel says, it is my son, Tony. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Then Yaakov tore his clothes in lament and anguish, put sackcloth on his waist, and he mourned for his son many days. And all his son, they were caught up in the morning. Man, daddy, they're sitting up in their tent with his ash on him and his mourning for his boy, oh Lord. And so it had an effect upon the brothers. And all of his sons and all of his daughters arose to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. I'm going to mourn to the bitter end for Joseph. I'll go down mourning for him. Thus his father wept for him. Now the Midianites had sold him in Mizraim to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. It's going to get deeper, y'all. It's going to get deeper. But through it all, the Most High is on the case. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. No matter if people are rolling, digging ditches for you or rolling stones upon you, if you're in codification with the Most High, don't worry. Everything's going to work out. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cottrell, you have the mic. Praise Yah.
All praises. You can see they use that term again. The Midianites took him into Egypt and sold him to Potiphar. Mm-hmm. So the Ishmaelites are Midianites or Ishmaelites from Midian. And the fact that they didn't have any problems dealing with the Egyptians, because we know Ishmael's mother was Egyptian, we know that Egypt wasn't a strange land to our family. So when they go to that prophecy in, I think it's the 13th chapter, where the Most High came to Abraham and said, your seed shall be a stranger in a strange land for 400 years. People try to say that our captivity in Egypt was that time, but it's not, because Egypt wasn't a strange land to us. We were very familiar with Mizraim, which the Greeks call Egypt. So we see that family fights can be very bitter fights. Who takes their little brother, rips his clothes up, takes his clothes, put blood on it, and tell their parents that a wild beast must have killed them? Meantime, they know they sold him. How do you sell your brother as a slave?
Exactly.
So you're talking about a hot mess and a monstrosity. We're seeing our ancestors were a hot mess and a monstrosity.
Exactly.
Because we do the same thing they do, plan to kill each other. Mm-hmm. And what impact would it have had their plan succeeded in killing him? What impact would it have had?
Exactly.
It had tremendous impact.
It would have.
As we see. Oh, yeah.
It would have.
Praise him.
Cottrell, thank you very much, brother. You've been very, I'm glad we have a relationship much more like you and I have a much more relationship like Joseph and Benjamin, their relationship, a constructive and positive one, not a toxic and poisonous one, because as you referred to, people wonder why we do the things that we do, because we don't understand the rock we were hewn from and the ditch we were dug from, and most importantly, Cottrell, we don't understand why we need the Elohim, why we need codification and processes, because left alone to our own devices, we are a hot mess and a monstrosity. Praise the Elohim.
And if the Most High don't intervene in their lives, the whole family will be destroyed.
You better believe it, my brother. You better believe it.
If the Most High makes them feel their conscience, as we go on this story, you're going to realize they did evil. And they have to repent for the evil that they did.
Exactly. Praise Yah, God.
But to have that spirit to want to kill your brother, your flesh and blood, well, we got to get rid of that. Somehow, some way, we got to get rid of that.
We got to get rid of that.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, we got to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no matter how they irk you, the way they talk about their dreams or what they want to do and how they dress and fly and you not, can't hate your brother because he's succeeding and you're not.
Exactly.
Or he's doing better than you.
But we had learned that, Cartier, and we need to learn that.
Yeah.
You know, brothers meant to bump heads and sharpen one another, not to kill each other and hate one another. You're right. All right,
and the beauty of Joseph is he didn't return that hate that they had for him. He didn't return that to them.
And see, that's why we need to delve into these studies, Cottrell. We need to study the rock we were hewn from, their characteristic. What made one different and one not different? What made one have a constructive relationship with the Most High and one not a constructive relationship with the Most High? We need to emulate certain characteristics. And certainly in the case of Joseph, we would do best to emulate his characteristics and stop hating one another. Praise Yah and bless his holy name.
Yes. Learn the positive characteristics and get rid of the negative ones.
Hallelujah.
We can see our reflection in these men, in their lives.
Certainly. Certainly, Katrell. Exactly. Certainly. Well, Katrell, thank you very much, brother. I very much appreciate you. And Katrell, we're ready for your segment of study in the Psalms, Psalms 19. And it reads, prayer and thanksgiving for Yah's righteous judgments. Prayer and thanksgiving for Yah's, not me, not Katrell, not your sister mother, for Yah's righteous judgments. To the chief musician, to the tune of death of a son. Death of a son. Perhaps he's speaking about Absalom, a psalm of King David. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Katrell.
All praises. We in the ninth chapter, not the 19th.
Katrell's right. Ninth chapter.
And that was the title for the ninth chapter. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Another song by our King, King David. So from Psalms 1 to Psalm 9, they're all by our King, King David. Give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel for you and created our King, King David, who left us with abundance and abundance of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. All praises. The book of Psalms, chapter 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to Yah with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. You got that name, O Most High. People wonder why we say the Most High. It's because of King David and these songs that he wrote. Because Yah is the Most High. When my enemies turn back, and we know King David had many enemies, fighting nations, even his own king, they stumble and perish in your presence. He's bearing witness. Every time I have to go to battle, whether big or small, my enemies stumble in your presence. Why? Because I rely on you. I give thanks to you with my whole heart. And I tell of your marvelous works. For you have maintained my just cause. And if you locked in with Yah, Yah will maintain your cause as long as it's just. You sit on the throne judging righteously. The King David knew that Yah was the judge. Even though he's a king and he could judge, but he put judgment in the hand of Yah. You have rebuked the nations. And that's what Yah does, and he will do. Yah will rebuke the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. That's what Yah does, and Yah will do. Destroy the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Yes, the wicked people, we don't even remember them. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Medes, and the Persians. There's so many of our kings. Our people don't know the names of our king. Most have blotted out their names. The enemy is overtaken by endless ruin. The very memory of the cities which you have overthrown has perished. Yep, we don't remember Babylon anymore. Or Assyria or Media Persia. People don't even talk about them. But Yah reigns forever. Back then, today, and tomorrow, into the forever, Yah reigns. He has prepared his throne for judgment. Oh yeah, it's going to be that judgment day. He's going to judge the nations and the people as well, individually. Mm-hmm. Judge the world in righteousness. Yeah, we need a righteous judge in the world. Right. Most people, they don't judge righteously.
Mm-hmm.
He will administer judgment to the peoples in uprightness, true judgment, pure justice. Yah will also be a high tower for the oppressed, which he is and will be a high tower in times of trouble. And trust me, you haven't seen troublesome times like we're about to see. But make Yah your high tower and your refuge, and you're going to be all right. Those who know your name will put their trust in you. That's why you got to know Yah's name. Can't be going around saying Hashem, 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 the name, like Jewish people do. Got to call Yah's name. Yahweh, Yehovah, whatever you call his name. Yah is sufficient. You say hallelujah, praises to Yah. That's his name. For you, Yah, have not forsaken those who seek you. That's why we're on this mission. That's why we're on this Block Talk radio show. To seek Yah in the spiritual realm. You ain't going to see him with your eyes or shake his hand. You're going to feel Yah in your presence. Like ancient fathers, like you're reading about. He might send his angels to you to talk to you, to deal with you. But other than that, he's basically that small voice. They call it your conscience that whispers to you to do the right thing. For he who avenges blood remembers them. So, yeah, Yah avenges blood. You murder somebody, you really haven't gotten away with it because Yah is going to avenge that blood. He doesn't forget the cry of the afflicted. And I'm sure you heard Joseph's cry when his brothers threw him in that well.
Mm-hmm.
Have mercy on me, Yah. See my affliction by those who hate me. We know that that's what Joseph was dealing with, that hatred. He came from his own family, no less. And we may be feeling that too, from our own family. Hatred from your own family.
Exactly.
And we know that Esau, our brother, hates us. Ishmael, our cousin, hates us. Moab and Ammon, they hate us. A lot of hate going around. But Yah sees us. He sees our affliction. And we need his mercy, don't we? And he's shown us his mercy and his loving kindness, which endures forever. So let's have more of Yah's mercy. Have mercy on me, Yah. And lift me up from the gates of death, because death is all around us. There's no guarantee about life, day or night. Somebody, you might walk out the door and get shot in the head by a stray bullet.
Exactly.
Then I may show all of your praise. We should be praising Yah all the time. I will rejoice in your salvation in the gates of the daughters of Zion. That's futuristic. Yah's salvation hasn't come yet, but King David is letting you know he's going to be there, right?
Exactly.
The nations have sunk down into the pit that they made, obviously. In the net which they hid, their own feet is taken. Yeah, you made these nuclear bombs, so now you're about to destroy yourself. Toxic and chemical production, you got the railway collision. Mm-hmm. What you going to do with all that toxic waste now? Where you going to take it?
Right.
And how is it affecting the ecosystem, the water, and the animals, and the people? Sticking into their own pitch, what you made. In the net, which they hid, their own foot is taken. Yah has made himself known. You better know Yah. He has executed judgment, and he does that. The wicked is snared by the work of his own hands. You ain't got to do nothing, because the work of the wicked is going to ensnare them, trap them, and kill them. The wicked shall be turned back to Sheol, which is hell. Even all the nations that forget Elohim, Yah Elohim. How many nations have forgotten Yah Elohim?
Most all of them, Katria.
Oh, yeah. They better start finding out. They better be on the search like we are, right? And remember who the creator is. Put that Big Bang evolutionary theory away and give Yah the praise he deserves.
Praise
For the needy shall not always be forgotten. You'd be wondering, why Yah let the poor suffer so much? He's letting us know, and they're not going to be forgotten. No, the hope of the poor perish forever. Arise, Yah. Don't let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, Yah. Let the nations know that they are only men.
Hallelujah.
And if they're only men, what is Yah?
They need to know, Cartrell.
Oh, yeah.
Cartrell,
this tells you that Yah is not a man.
No. And you did explanation, Katria, as you went, and it's quite apparent to the students that you did an excellent, you broke it down like they were 4 years old and don't get offended, but it's self-explanatory after Katria had broken it down for you. Since he's broken it down, meditate on it sometime after the study show. If you wake up in the nighttime, go back to it, meditate on it, then make the right application. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cartrell.
Yeah, it's a beautiful opportunity to get into the mind of King David. You know, sometimes they ask you, like, if you had anybody to speak to in history, who would you talk to? I got a list of people I would like to talk to. But the fact that you could have a conversation with King David, well, he lets us know what was on his mind, and it's closely related to the Most High, it's so important to meditate on the words that he put down. So it's not just a prayer, but a vision. It's like Joseph had the vision, and he tried to tell his brothers, but they ain't want to hear it. These words here, we need to hear and listen to and meditate on. All praises.
All praise. Well, thank you, fellow students. Most importantly, thank you, Yah. And thank you very much, Katria, for your contributions to the LOM and his studies and your assistance with helping the students to understand the LOM's word. And Yom Suf also. That being said, Katra and Elle and I, we are getting ready to leave, but the Most High willing, we'll be back tomorrow to share in with you some more studies of the Word of Yah through King Darwin and through Moses the prophets by way of Bereshit in the mind in the beginning of the Elohim, to understand the characteristic of our people, to understand the rock we were hewn from and the ditch we were dug from, to understand most importantly the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Bless and praise his holy name. And Cottrell, and I, Cottrell, any closing remarks?
Just a reminder, again, we have this Day of Repentance in Washington, D.C., September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Visit the website, register. I'm going to remind you until we get there so that we can come together as a family, as a people, got to learn how to tolerate and appreciate each other for who we are, what Yah created us to do. Got to learn to get over these things. Joseph and his brothers need to get over their issues. So let's come together, get over our issues, go before Yah in obedience, and do the right thing before the Most High. We love Yah. Yah will gather about us. Help us out. Praise Yah. Shalom and good night.
Praise Yah. Shalom and good night. We love y'all. Do the right thing. Good night. May the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Old pirate, yes, a rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. All I ever have, redemption songs. These songs of freedom,